We just thank you for this time and the things of your heart that you are doing in our lives and in this journey, Lord, that we have lifted up our hearts, that it would be more than a class, but that you would truly have authority to move in our lives, to bring us to know the true resurrected Christ, and plant seeds, Lord, if not unveil our eyes, to really know him as he desires to be known. So, Lord, we just continue to cleave to you in the way you want us to know you, as from above. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to continue to redeem this time for eternity and to breathe life into our hearts and open our ears that we might really know the Lord. We need him, Lord. We need the Son in this way. So we just thank you. And we thank you for this time. Just bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Is that Robert? All right. Welcome. Welcome. I almost called you, but I didn't have your number. Okay, well, just a quick reminder to be doing your study questions. And they're easy. But just do them, and then I'll make sure you did them, and we'll all be happy. And we're very happy that Robert's with us. He's a very beloved member of the body of Christ and of our church. Amen. So, Robert, we are looking at the story of the Emmaus Road journey. And it's in Luke chapter 24, and the classes are all online up to where we're at right now. So we're just going to trust the Lord to feed you right where we're starting today. We're just happy you're here. Amen. Praise God. Well, last class we started talking about, we were ending, and I just enjoyed the Lord last class, and I enjoyed the comments and how the Holy Spirit was speaking through y'all. But we kind of ended up where the Lord disappeared after they knew him in the breaking of the bread. Remember that? And Chris mentioned how, you know, that was pretty amazing, because once they began to know him in a way that wasn't just by seeing him outwardly, but by partaking of his life inwardly, that the outward Jesus disappeared from their view. And we were just kind of beginning to see that there's a real spiritual reality, that once we begin to enter into the real knowing of Jesus as his body through communion, which means partaking of his life, then that outward Jesus that we used to hold so dear and kind of was the only way we knew Jesus, he was able to disappear, because the greater, the true, the risen, the real relationship was now replacing the old relationship. Does that make sense? Because that's simple, but it's profound when we really embrace that and we open up our hearts to knowing him in that new way. And so so we begin to know him, and we're taking steps during this kind of transition from simply looking in the scriptures to see something deep or illuminating or something that makes our heart burn, to knowing the Lord in a way that there's a communion where his life begins to fill us. I know you guys have the Revelation of Christ class. I've read the book many times, been in the class many times, and I have no idea what you've been sharing in that class, but the thought comes to me that it can be easy for us, for all of us, to call revelation illumination and illumination revelation. And what I mean by that is that we feel and we appear, and in the eyes of men, mankind, men and women, we appear spiritual at the stage, the spiritual stage of illumination. What I mean by that is when we see some revelation, not the revelation, but a revelation in the scriptures that is so powerfully from the Holy Spirit that it causes our hearts to burn within us, like when Jesus was opening the scriptures from Moses on, through the prophets concerning himself, the disciples, their hearts burned within them. But certainly they had not yet entered into this relationship of communion as his very body. This was something that happened way before on the journey. And yet, to sit down with somebody and just begin to pour out deep, open up the scripture in such a way that you can show Jesus in the volume of the book in such a manner that only the Holy Spirit could have given it. Now that makes us, number one, feel very spiritual, doesn't it? And it makes us look very spiritual to others, doesn't it? Now, take that picture in contrast to someone sitting down, noticing that you have a flat tire on your car right when they're about to get in the Word with you, putting their Bible down, fixing your flat tire, and noticing that a group of people are sharing the Word while they're changing out the tire, and they're really having a big old time, and the Holy Spirit's moving, and it's powerful, and you want to go into that little group and really wow them with what you've got out of the Word, but instead you stay there in the grease and in the heat and the dirt, and you change that tire. By the time you're finished, everybody's ready to go home for dinner. Now, you probably don't appear or feel very spiritual, but the unveiling of Christ, your life, whereas you begin to function as his body, not just his teacher or his illuminated disciple, would cause you to pour out your life and care for the needs of others, which is truly spiritual. It's the Spirit of Christ. But you probably won't appear like nothing much at all, and you probably will feel worse. So we could exalt illumination way above revelation. Let me just put this simple. Revelation is when you begin to function by the life of Jesus. It's when you begin, let's make it more simple. You begin to lay your life down in simple things where you're not noticed, because Christ is motivating you with his nature. Okay? Simple. The revelation of Christ isn't nirvana, an explosion of wild spirituality that makes you gleam and glow like Jesus in the Mount of Transfiguration, that makes you a guru of deeper life, that makes you an ascended teacher better than all men around you. The revelation of Christ makes you a servant of all men around you. The revelation of Christ makes you an honorer of all the other members of the body, particularly the less comely member. The revelation of Christ is the complete decrease of you and all of your pride and all that you would want to make spiritual in yourself, and the complete increase of a lamb who simply makes himself of no reputation and lays down his life, because that is whose body we are when we see that as revealed by the Holy Spirit, that we are the raised body of this Jesus. So, I mean, we can draw charts and we can say things that are honestly opened to us by the Holy Spirit, but this journey doesn't end until Jesus is all and in all. This journey doesn't end with understanding everything about Jesus being all and in all. This journey doesn't end with us being the most illuminated disciples when we return to Jerusalem with the best message of everybody. If we don't die, because Jesus died before he made us his body, if we don't enter into that death where we were crucified with Christ, there is no revelation of being the body of his resurrection. I mean, in spiritual reality, we have died because he bore us, he took us into his death by grace. But that has to become effectual in us before we will begin to truly function as the body of his resurrection. The cross isn't the greatest teaching that ever hit planet Earth. Like last class, the cross is the nuclear holocaust that hit planet Earth and destroyed everything and everyone, so that it would be Jesus in resurrection that would fill all things. You know, that's important, guys. It's important that we check our motives every day, every hour, every time. Why? Why am I walking down this road? Why am I getting in the Word? And you know what? We might not want to do that because every time it comes up pride. Every time it comes up pride. Every time there's just so much selfishness in our motivation. It's hard to look at. But I want to encourage you to look at it. I don't want to hide myself from my own flesh. Look at it. Get so tired of you. Let the cross be like the plow of God that unearths every vile thing in our motives until we are so convinced that we are not going to be illuminated into spirituality, trained into godliness, shaped into Christians, that we need to be crucified and replaced by the Son who is the resurrection and the life himself. That all our hope, all our glory, all our confidence will be in Christ alone. That is a heart thing. That is not a head thing. That is what Jesus is after from his body. And it's possible to squander years of being in an environment of the Word of God by simply getting more and more and more and more illuminated, calling it revelation, and walking out a minister who does not know yet that he is the body of the risen Son. I'm not talking, Noah, about being the body of the risen Son, but he has not eaten the flesh, drank the blood, and been replaced by the nature of the risen Son. Huge difference. Huge difference. And, you know, my desire in this class isn't that we can hear the difference. Well, let's just say my desire in my own life and in my own journey isn't that at the end of the day I can have a whole new file cabinet in my illumination room where I can really, really preach, teach, sing, and wow people with the comprehension of being the body of the resurrected Son. But that I will have gone through the grinder and I will have gone through some deep awakenings to my need, and that I will have let the Spirit of God open me up to where I'm off and where I really desperately need to know the Lord. Because the work God wants to do in my life has nothing to do with me learning anything. It has everything to do with my heart opening up to the places that I don't know him. And if I take the easy road, and what is the easy road for a disciple on the Emmaus journey? The easy road is the road that just keeps going with teachings about the cross. The easy road is the road that takes the path that says, I get it, my heart's burning within me, I'm inspired, I'm illuminated, this is a great message, I believe in this message, I'd do anything for this message, except die and become nothing that he might become everything. That is taking the easy way out on the Emmaus Road journey. The disciples on the Emmaus Road journey have already been through Bible school for 3.5 years. They've already done the ministry thing. They've been talking about the cross. They've seen things. They know things. They have more knowledge and information and eyewitnessing accounts than anybody. What they don't have is his nature and life yet formed in them. And that's the goal. That's all that matters to the Father. And that's all that matters to the risen Son, whose body we now are. And so, you know, the cross can come sometimes, and it just seems like merciless, you know, when you really open yourself to the Father and his great love. He just keeps plowing. You think one time over should do it, and he comes 15 more times that day. You think about a half inch in to your motives, and you're good to go. Reveal the Son. I'm ready. I'm emptied. And he comes and does it about 15 feet deeper. And by that point, you're done. You're cooked, man. It's over. The love affair is done. You are no longer in love with yourself. The confidence is gone. Your hope, there is no more hope. You know, there's a little track we use all the time in Ireland. It's the number one seller on the streets. It's called Suicide. It's about suicide. And you know, there's a lot of suicide rate is pretty high in Ireland. It's high in the United States. And, well, I believe God has a great answer for suicide. You know, once the plow starts coming and we see how hopeless we are, Lord, I can't look anymore. I'm just going to commit suicide if I have to see what a mess I am anymore, and you don't want me to feel that bad. He's like, hey, it's your choice. I already killed you at the cross. If you want to kill yourself out of self-pity so my son can't live in you, that's fine, but you're right on one front. Death is the answer. Death is the answer. You have come to a one conclusion that is 100% correct. You do need to die. Yes, you are hopeless. Yes, there is no good thing in you, no matter how deep you dig or high you look. But the answer isn't suicide. The answer is that you were crucified with Christ already. And what you need to do is embrace it, not in your doctrines or your preaching or your teaching or whatever, in your heart. And you need to take that death so deep into you that it answers to everything that comes your way. I am crucified. I am crucified. Why am I crucified? Because I don't deserve to live. Because there is no good thing in me. Because Jesus is the only righteous one, the only loving one, the only pleasing one to the Father, the only one who has a pure heart, the only one who will do it and doesn't please man but pleases God. Jesus is the hope of my glory. And you know what? You move from the emptiness of being dead with Christ to the fullness of being his body. But you have to pass through. You have to pass through that. You have to allow your Father to father you. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to deal with you. The deeper he can deal, the more you can partake of his fullness and manifest him as his body. The deeper you deal. But what? You know, we're reading Hind's Feet on High Places and Pilgrim's Progress. And within both of these stories, there's just all these little people that sneak up. The closer they get to really being conformed to the Lord, these people sneak up, you know, self-pity and, you know, what, you know, all these people with all these things telling him, don't, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Are you stupid? Why are you letting them treat you so mean? Why would you allow the Lord to speak to you like that? Don't you see he's working against you? Can't you see? Nobody really wants, you'll never make it. Look at you. Look at how, you know, and they're just constantly trying to divert and pull back this pilgrim, this journeyer. Isn't that what we're talking about, a journey? Get this guy off his journey before he makes it. Before he makes it where? To the goal. Well, what is the goal? To have Christ formed in us. You know? To have Christ formed in us. So these guys come and they're just trying to just do anything they can. And we read those books or we hear them as children and we're just so inspired. Isn't that just, they should make a movie out of that. That is such a great theme. It's just such a wonderful story. Well, we don't need to make a movie about it. If you want to go on this journey, you will live the movie. You will be the main character. You will encounter all those ugly little creatures and more. They will come to you. They will do their best to deceive you, to persuade you, to draw you back, to depress your soul, to fill you with suspicion, to fill you with anger towards the Lord. They will do everything they can to get you off that journey to where Jesus can really live in his body. They'll let you be a good preacher. They'll let you be illuminated. They'll let you do ministry all the days of your life. But no, sir, will you be able to go all the way to Christ living in you. Because why? Because that's when they get afraid. There's more Jesus then. More Jesus. And these guys are for real. I know everybody in here has stories. We all, my Lord, the books that could be written just in my own life about these little creatures that come. And I just want to ask you in a loving way, but I could ask you in a mean way, and you should be able to receive that. I shouldn't have to be nice. Should have to just be the Lord. Isn't that right? But you know what? No matter what happens, whether we have to know the Lord. And, oh no, this is the point God had. Everyone who's made it to Christ being formed in them. You may not believe this, You may think you have it worse than any son that's ever walked this journey before you. But I am telling you 100% and from the Lord, you are wrong. Every son who has made it to maturity where Christ has literally been formed in them has gone through everything you are going through. And many, many, many sons have gone through much, 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 much worse temptations. And passed by the grace of God because they kept their eyes on the prize. Amen. And you know, this time here at Acts or listening on the internet or wherever, on planet Earth, for the few vapor of a years we get down here, are just going to be squandered like the breeze, like a leaf blowing in the wind, unless we make a determination that my Lord Jesus, nothing is going to keep me from getting to you as my life. I will not be satisfied until your son lives in me. I mean, I will not stop. I will not stop. And I am going to see some of the most ugliest things in my motivations. I am going to see the worst enemy I've ever had is my own soul wrestling against me going further. Listening to demons, listening to the scorners, listening to the accusers. I am going to be that vile person. But Lord, I am not going to let go of Christ and him crucified. You crucified that man of perdition. You put him away. And I am going to stand on the basis of the word of God and the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. And I am going to use that as my spiritual armor that will withstand every fiery dart that would push me back from going further, whether it be regret or shame or failure. I am going on in the name of Jesus. And you got to do it, man. Or you're just going to gain all this stuff, all this big, make you this big, isn't it ugly? I don't even want to go further. Big spiritual something. And heck, I'm guilty. God forbid for me. I speak only for myself because that's the only person I'm responsible for ultimately. And where is the Jesus that we were supposed to gain? Why did we even do all this? If he doesn't get the body he died for in communion and life, the Father doesn't get the Son he sacrificed for an increase of. The world doesn't get the life they deserve from the body of Jesus. Amen? Why? Why? Go on, Robert.
So beautiful. I'm thinking, is this still a faith walk? Is this still a faith experience? I love everything you're saying, and I'm sitting here and I'm saying, you know, that I'm still so full of doubt sometimes, and I'm wondering, do I know Jesus for real? Am I part of that, his body?
Your faith comes to play when those things you were just saying, am I, do I, they come to us, and they come to us to discourage us, to make us feel like I'm confused, I don't know anything, And you look at those and you say with your faith, Jesus says I'm one with him. Jesus says what's not yet perfect in me, he will show me and he will make it perfect in me. He will bring forth his son in me. And you press on, you press on, you press on. But the Emmaus Road class, this class, these scriptures are speaking very specifically to disciples who have already graduated from Bible school. They have already been in the ministry. They have already done a lot of great things for Jesus, and they still don't know him as his body. And that's why my tenor is a little more firm, because Jesus' tenor was a little more firm with them. Why? And we covered this in our first three classes. Why was his tenor more firm? Because they needed to be awakened to recognize that they needed to know more of Jesus. They thought they knew because they had been around so long and they had already experienced so much. So there was this spiritual pride. There was this sense of I've already attained. They were not aware that they hadn't entered into the life of being his body. And so Jesus had, out of love, to do something to help them realize there is more for them. See, there's more for them. And in his great love and faithfulness, he couldn't just say, oh, everything's okay. Yes, you're doing. No, that wouldn't be right. He had to say, Jesus said it, fools and slow of heart to believe. That's what Jesus called them. Okay. He called them fools, and then he called them slow of heart. Now, I'm not going to say I'm sorry for Jesus' words. What I'm going to do as a son of God is find his heart behind those words. Why? Because as a son, that's my responsibility. I need to figure out what he means. I need to figure it out. And so do you. And so I'm not going to explain it to you. Okay, so we recognize our need. And when we do that, this journey is different than all other journeys because it's no longer another class to learn more about the cross, to put it in our arsenal of deep teachings, so we can be a great minister when we go out back into Jerusalem. Because eventually these two boys went back to Jerusalem with whatever happened on this journey. Well, we don't take all this stuff and put it in our arsenal so that when we go back to Jerusalem or to the congregation, we can look better, more spiritual. But now they're beginning to comprehend themselves as, when they go back, they want to go back as the body of the risen Son. What does that mean? They have his nature. They want to go back as the temple, not somebody in the temple. They want to go back as the temple where he lives. They don't want to go back to Jerusalem with another message. They want to go back as the new Jerusalem. Okay? Do you see them? This is awesome. This is, remember last class? This is the most radical thing that ever happened in the history of the universe. This is the biggest thing that ever happened. They are no longer people. They're his body. They're no longer church dwellers. They are the church. They are the temple. They are the Jerusalem. It's the biggest thing that ever happened. Ever. Ever. And ever will. Yes, Matt.
You're saying that, I was writing this down. We think that there's a script, you know, the scripture that says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but to lose a soul? Right? And normally we think of that, and we think of it in terms of people who are just after the things of the world. You know, gain, gain, gain. You know, but what you're saying there, really, this even more so maybe applies to those that say they're after the Lord.
Amen.
Because you can go and you can have a great message and people can think you're the greatest thing since sliced cheese or whatever, right? And you can have a big ministry and you can have all these things, but it may not ever profit you anything, because the only thing that you can actually sort of use as a standard to say what profit is, if I can say it that way, is by life. Life is the standard. You know what I mean? And it's like, so to me, it's like you can go after these things, and you can. What we're really doing is we're just using Jesus as a means to our end, and really we're only doing it in a worldly. There's just it really is just back in the world again. Yeah. So you're just gaining world. You're gaining more of me, more of whatever. And in the end, it just really doesn't profit you at all.
No, that's very
awesome. The only value, the only thing that is of value is his life.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah and amen to that. You know it. That's a hearty amen.
That's scripture. It needs to stay right.
It does.
You can't be just out there with worldly people. Because we could say, well, I'm at Bible school, and you know, and I'm going into the ministry, or I'm going to be this or that, and perhaps by the grace of God you will be those things. But first of all, it's by the grace of God. You know what I mean? And it's like the application is not because I've come into this thing that it doesn't apply to me anymore.
Yeah. Hopefully. It makes sense. Yes, it makes Jesus sense. Hallelujah. You know, first he disappeared, and the picture I got when I was thinking about this today was like, all of a sudden he's there. Remember when they were having communion, and then he was gone? You mentioned it last class. And I just thought, okay, he's disappeared, but where is he going to appear? You know, and if we have answers for that in our scriptural illuminated minds, but let's not go there. He's disappeared. Where is he going to appear? And I want you to put yourself in the place of those two Emmaus Road guys, and you're having communion with Jesus, drinking wine, breaking bread, fellowshipping. It's really wonderful. You all of a sudden begin to have your eyes opened as the bread is being broken, that we are his body. This is based on communion of a shared life. Head to members, we are partaking now of Christ as our life because he rose from the dead with us in him as his body. All that's starting to hit your heart as your spiritual eyes are being opened in the breaking of the bread, and it speaks of this in Luke chapter 24. We spoke of it last class. But all of a sudden, he disappears. You know, you all look at each other like, where'd he go? Where'd he go? And I mean, you know, the answer has already come in spirit to your heart, but it's fresh, it's new, it's unfamiliar still. So you look at each other and you go, where'd he go? He's gone. You know, and you know, thoughts might come. Maybe next time we have communion, he'll show up again. Maybe if we do a long worship service in Jerusalem, he'll show up again. Maybe if we have a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week prayer vigil for 10 years, he'll show up again. I don't know. I don't know where he went. I don't know. He's gone, though. But here is how the Lord was sharing it with my heart, and this is what I personally believe. You need to check it out. You need to just make it your own by the Lord and the Word. But my belief is that he appears in motives. There he is. Oh, well, we wouldn't look for Jesus to appear in a motive in me. Maybe in an illuminated teaching in my brain. Maybe in a vision, in a dream. Sure, you know, maybe in a feeling, in a service. But the resurrected Christ disappears from our eyes in the sense realm. But where does he show up? Well, I believe he shows up inside your motive. There's where the resurrected Christ shows up, inside your intents, in your heart. He shows up in your nature. He shows up. I mean, I'm not talking, you know, Jesus lives in my heart and I have a new heart and I'm more loving now. I mean, by the Holy Spirit and the manifestation of another life within you, he shows up. And you say, that was not me. Jesus is risen from the dead, takes us right back to our first class, because there's no way I could respond in that situation the way I did unless Jesus was my life. This is the proof that he rose from the dead. Now, Saul, when he was going to the Witch of Endor right about that time to get counsel and was trying to kill David with spears, was also found prophesying his head off, naked. So prophecy is obviously not a sign of the resurrection, the ultimate proof. Okay? And feelings of nearness of the presence of the Lord. Well, I'm sure David felt that a lot. A lot of people did in the Old Testament. A lot of people did in the New Testament, maybe in the Gospels, before Jesus showed up, when they were touched by him, when he healed the leper and he, you know, ministered deliverance to Mary of Magdalene. And she felt the love of God. I mean, I'm sure waves of love and mercy and grace and feelings of the Lord swept over people as he spoke from the Mount, the Beatitudes, where men were awed by such words and such authority that would come from such a man. Who is this man? Their hearts probably melted within them. That wasn't a sign of resurrection. He hadn't rose yet. He hadn't been crucified yet. Those things all happened pre-cross. Worship services, feeling his presence, prophesying, miracles, deep things from the scriptures being unveiled. No. That's not the appearing of the risen Son. It is an appearing. It is of the Lord. Bless the Lord. Everything about him I love and I'm open to and I want it. Hallelujah. But what I really want is to have his life formed in me. And the appearing of the risen Son in his own body, motives, intents, reactions, forgiveness, the fruit of the Spirit is love, patience, long-suffering, peace. See, these things are the evidence of another life in you. these things don't come by being touched by someone outside of you, but by being the body of someone who lives inside of you. And see, those are the things that he appears in now, to, or rather shall I say, in his own body. There you have the revelation of Jesus Christ. The unveiling of the Son, where? In his own body. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we get our priorities straight. We stop trying to attain. We stop trying to protect our flesh on this journey. We stop trying to look good in the eyes of men. We stop trying to appear as something that we have yet comprehended through union. And we just recognize, that's chapter 3 where we're at in the book, we just recognize our need. And do you know that there's a clean feeling that comes when you recognize, I need Jesus. It's a good thing. The revelation of Jesus Christ brings transformation, brings another life forth. It brings transformation. We have to ask ourselves, is this bringing transformation to me? Or is it bringing the burning of illumination? The burning of illumination or the transformation where Christ is formed in me? These are questions you ask yourself on the Emmaus Road journey. These are questions that keep your shift from drifting out into outer space.
There is a time for each of those, isn't there?
Yes. But once again, this class is for the disciples who've already passed through. And that's why Yes. And Robert's good. Robert's sent here from the Lord because people listening need to hear that. Yes. And I'm glad you brought that up. There is a time where the Lord speaks to us through miracles. And he still does. I mean, he does after, as the body of Christ, we work through all the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fivefold ministry. All of that functions through us. But the greatest of these is love. Once Christ is formed in us, we prophesy with the love of God to build up the body of Christ. We manifest the gift of healing, not to look like a great healer, but to minister to the need of the body. See, all those gifts are from God, and they're good, and they're wonderful, and they have their place, but they're not the revelation of Christ. Christ in us is that. And this class is for disciples who have kind of passed through all those different stages already, and still haven't come to the heart and soul of everything, which is Christ himself being formed in them. But that's good. It's good for me to say that again, to bring the clarity, because we can be, it's just in our nature to get down on something and to hear the negative. But as sons of God, here's just a point, as sons of God, your responsibility is to hear from your Father what he's trying to say. Just catch me on this. You can go, now, Kelly, she just said that a little bit. Maybe it was supposed to be 10 degrees this way and she did 9 degrees. So, you know, that 1 degree really threw me. No, your responsibility is to hear from the Lord, not blame the teacher. I mean, I'll take the blame before God and I'll stand before God. And I don't want to be off on any level. It is my heart to be completely, purely Jesus. But as a student, one with you, as a son, I never give myself that excuse. It's my responsibility. If Saul is preaching to David, and Saul is preaching things about the kingdom to David with a spear throwing at his head, do you think David said, I couldn't hear anything Saul said. I wouldn't listen to anything Saul said because Saul's got attitude problems. He didn't preach it in the right spirit. You know, everything he said isn't valid to me because he wasn't 100% pure. David said, God is using that man because he's the one God's using right now to speak, and whether he's right, wrong, or indifferent, he says it, maybe not perfectly. I'm going to hear what the Lord wants to say to me. I'm going to get what God has for me out of it instead of making excuses to not hear from the Lord and majoring on the minors and then missing God. I don't know why I'm talking like this, y'all. If it's Jesus, praise God. If it's not, forgive me. But, you know, I just trust the Lord in times like this. Well, maybe it's needful. I don't know. If not, God'll deal with me. And God does deal with me every day, all the time. And it's no fun, but I want more. But I'm telling you, it is your responsibility to hear from the Lord, not blame everybody else. My God, you're never going to get anywhere on this journey. You're going to spend the whole time criticizing everyone else and making yourself feel better about yourself when you're supposed to be letting the cross plow over you so Christ can finally get formed. Use everything to deepen that openness to the Lamb of God getting inside your motives. Allow nothing to take you off that course. Be passionate. Don't be persuaded. Don't let anything steal that treasure, which is Christ in you. Remember Sunday morning? Don't let anything steal the treasure of Christ living in you. Don't let anything, don't let any vessel, don't let any outward anything. I don't know what it is. But we're so easy to let go of Christ living in us. We let, just one moment, and I'll get back. We let the smallest thing rip him right out of our hands. And we justify it by the knowledge of good and evil. I'm sorry, and here I go again, but we will all stand before God for those decisions we make. And God will judge righteously what was really going on. And you know what? The fear of God is a good thing. You know what it does? It gets your heart right really fast. Your heart just goes, dude. All those little, all that just goes, and something in you goes, I'm going to stand before God for what's really going on. I better get right and quit looking at everybody else. If even 1/18th of what was spoken is the Lord, I needed to get right. And you do, and you know what? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. What man is he who feareth the Lord? Him shall God teach in the way he shall choose. What man is he that feareth the Lord? He's the one that God will teach and reveal his son in. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. How are you ever going to go further if you keep holding on to the Jesus you know and won't let there be more? Amen? You got to open up that there's more. If you keep holding that up before God and everyone else who says there's more, you aren't going to get the treasure. You aren't. Break before the Lord. Break before the Lord. Humble your heart. Open yourself to the Holy Spirit. There is so much more for everyone on the planet to know. Don't hold yourself in pride with what you do know, but break for the more of it. Cry out for the living God from a dry and thirsty land. Be the least. Be hungry. Blessed are they who thirst, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they who hunger. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they that mourn. Don't you hear the heart of the Lord? Wisdom crieth out from the gates. Who will hear me? Who will hear me? That I might lay her foundations in the city. That we're that city. We need our foundations laid. We need this life to get in. We're not playing around with school. We're not trying to get real spiritual. We're not trying to compete with each other. We're trying to manifest Christ as his body. For his heart, for God's heart, and for the nutrition and love and life of all who come to near us. See, the purposes are much greater than what our petty, selfish hearts make them. We all do that until Christ is our heart. That's what is in man. That's why we need the cross. To take out from us what is us and to put into us the motivations of the Son. That's why we eat his flesh. That's why we drink his blood. That's why we don't settle for illumination or ministry or looking better. That's why we get sick at the thought of it. Because it's going to tear that treasure right out of our hand and keep us from getting the best. And like Matt said, having gained the whole world and lost our own soul. Now, once again, this could be the ravings of a lunatic, or it could be God speaking to you. It's your responsibility to find out.
It's Philippians 3. I'll just go with 7. It says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him And the power of his resurrection, and that's the part that I wanted to really say was...
Yes.
Like when back in Luke, he says that... shouldn't the Son of Man suffer these things that he could enter into his glory? I mean, Paul, when he's saying this, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, to know him in his entered in state of his glory.
That's right. That is,
I think, important. It's a great point in this journey. That scripture is right on with what this class is about. And yes, and amen to that, Chris. Amen. That he cannot enter into his glory until we allow him to. And these are the things that keep him from entering into his glory. Amen? So, you know, I was driving here and I was thinking, you know, as humans, we probably go, Lord, you're just so hard on us. You're just so hard. I mean, I'm talking about people that have really gone through, like the children of Israel of Judah when the Babylonians came in the captivity. Lord, you're just so hard on us. My Lord, we've lost everything. It was bad, really bad, okay? Bad, outwardly. I mean, they got so hungry they were eating their own kids bad. Lord, read Lamentations. Lord, why aren't you so hard on us? And I could just hear in my heart, I'm not the one who's having, it's not me being hard, it's you've got such a hard-headedness, I can't get through. What do I have to do to make entrance? I'm not saying he said that. I'm saying I thought that. Okay? So don't put that on God. Put that on me. But you're so hard-headed. What do I got to do to wake you up that you're not the body? You're just playing temple. You're playing priest. You're playing prophet. You're playing temple. You're playing people of God. And I'm not there. And you don't notice. And you don't want me to come back. What do I have to do to make entrance? Maybe a little time in Babylon. Well, that was mean. Why do you have to be so hard? I'm not the hard one here. I would have been more than happy to come on in if you opened the door like 70 years ago when I first knocked. And I've cried every morning since then, ready to come. And still, no. I like to play church. It's fun. You know, and sometimes we should just take God's side and make us the enemy and then take us to the cross and let Jesus come in. And let him fill his body with his life. Isn't that cool? Sometimes, I think David did that when I'm reading my Psalms. I think there's times when David talks about his enemies. He's talking about himself. You know, Lord, deliver me from my enemies. They're all around me. They're encompassing me. I really think David was talking about himself, first and foremost. Deliver me from my pride. Deliver me from my fears. Deliver me from all this stuff that keeps me from being full of Jesus. Deliver me from my enemies. I am a pitiful little weak man, and I need God to redeem me. The Lord, my rock, my high tower, you need to make my feet stand in the nature of Christ and be on a sure, make establish my goings. Establish me in the Son, that I be not moved by every little thing except by his life in me. Be my rock. Be my life. Be my fullness. Make me a man of God. Make me a son by Christ. Make me the temple where he lives, part of the temple, the body where he dwells, the Jerusalem that is of his bride, that is a crucified place where his nature is found. Hallelujah. Isn't it beautiful? It's a wonderful end, isn't it? Is it not worth everything? It's worth everything. Even sitting through one of my classes, you know. And trust me, it's not the class that we really have to sit through. It's that we get to the feet of Jesus, the feet of our Father, that we get with the Holy Spirit, and we just open up ourselves to them. We listen, we wait, we cry out, we break, we open, we hunger, we thirst. We say, yes, Lord, have thine own way. Lead me, Lord, into the paths of righteousness. Take me in to the place where Christ really can fill and form. Bring me into the not just knowledge, but the living reality of being the part of this resurrected body that is where his life is found. Lord, open the eyes of my heart that I might be flooded with the life of Christ. And it will make my motivations different. It will make my walk different. It will make my tenor of reacting and thinking and intenting and you know Jesus on the inside. Isn't that a glorious gospel? I mean, it makes humans little Jesusins. We call them Christians, but I'm going to say Jesusins. Places where Jesus lives. Yeah, little Christ is what we've made that a doctrine in a cult, you know, like a church, a religious institution, not a cult. Christians. No, well, we don't. Jesusins. I don't know, little Jesuses, little places where Jesus is. Really living his body. That's the goal. That's the end of this journey. And they go back to Jerusalem. Oh, bless God, they don't have another message alone. They do have a message, and glory to God for it. Thank you, Paul, and thank you all that preached Christ and him crucified. Bless you, your blessed feet. Oh, they're beautiful wherever they tread to bring forth more of Jesus. But the most powerful minister of Christ and him crucified is a crucified one, is one that's filled with the life, who's passed through this journey, who's walked and traversed these steep slopes, that have endured the little creatures that come around the dark valleys and try to pull you out, that have walked through the valley of the shadow and found the Lord there, amen? Now that's the kind of preacher you want, isn't it? And that's the kind of physician you want, and that's the kind of counselor you want, and the mother you want, the father, the friend, someone who has truly known the Lord in that way. And that's, I believe, why we're here. I believe that's what our hearts are longing for. I would never say anything. Now, there was years, in years past, I would say this to just about anyone who'd listen because of inexperience and a lot of less situations that have happened. But now, I don't cast out these kind of pearls, but to hearts that I'm convinced want the Lord. Why? Why even say these things to somebody who doesn't want them and just going to turn around and rend me afterwards? You know. But if I believe by the Spirit's witness within that there are hearts that really want the Lord, then I'll put it out there with my own neck and just say, I'm gonna say it. Because I believe if I was in that chair, I'd want someone to say it that way too, so I could really get to Jesus. So what I'm trying to say is it's a compliment. I love the hearts that are here. I believe you want the Lord. And for that reason, I am speaking this way. And I get that all from my father. I just get it from my dad. He's way more that way than I am. Boy, if he even senses just a little bit of openness, he's on you like a June bug on a chicken. I don't know where I've heard that is. I don't know. I got it wrong. Beyond honey, I don't know what. I've been in Texas for a good while now. But the Lord loves you. He wants you. He's after you. Okay? And so he draws us. Let's just pray. Lord, we just thank you for your words today. And forgive me for just being a vessel of clay of Lord, I am not perfect in any way, shape, or form. But Lord, even for that, I thank you that you might teach these students to listen to the Lord, not the vessel. Lord, I do take responsibility for more of Jesus in me, but I desire for them to be able to receive of you at all times, to know your voice, to press into your heart, to not let anything keep them from the path of life, to attain this glorious end of Christ being formed in the body that he raised up as his own. Lord, just let each one now be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. Let the Spirit of God go into the deep places, into the places where Christ wants to appear in his resurrection, and begin to move in a manner that will bring forth his appearing, will bring forth resurrection and life, that will bring forth the revelation of Christ. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this time. May it be redeemed unto eternity. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.